We've been talking about our identity in Christ, all right? Your identity is your individuality, your uniqueness, your distinctiveness, and it's what identifies you as you. And it's the set of characteristics that somebody recognizes. And as a Christian, we now get to identify ourselves with Christ, all right? You can be associated with him. You can be like him. You can actually live like he lived, all right? Because Christ, when he comes into a person's heart, he empowers that person to live an abundant life, amen? God desires for you to have abundant life. Everybody say abundant. Abundant. You know, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And Satan is, of course, the identity thief. He is out to steal your identity through lies and deception. And, you know, he doesn't want you to associate yourself with Christ. He wants to keep you confined. He wants to keep you down, depressed. He doesn't want you to excel, all right? And Satan will put thoughts. He'll give you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. That's all he can do. He can't make you do anything. And he'll try to get you to doubt God. Amen? But you can resist him. Everybody say resist him. Resist. You know, you just can't allow the devil to let those thoughts run by you unchecked. Amen? You have to have some resistance. All right? When you get into the Word and someone tells you something that different than the Word says, you've got to resist that different thing. You got to stick with the Word. So we're looking about our identity, okay? Every person can get into a family two ways. You can be born there or you can be adopted, right? And the Bible said that we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Bible said, too, that if we believe in him and receive him, we are empowered to become his children. Okay? So our identity in Christ starts with being born into his family. Being born again, being born of the Spirit. Amen? And then once you're in the family, you now have to discover your position or your place that God has put you. And he has put all of us in the same place, and that place is in Christ. Christ is the position and the place that God put us in. That means you get his victory. You get his strength. You get his wisdom. You get his joy. Amen? If God gives you joy, the world can't take it away because the world didn't give it to you. Only the person that gave it to you can take it away. Amen? And God's not in the taking business. He's in the giving business. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. We got into this in looking at our position. All right? Once you get into the family of God, you've got to understand your position. Amen? If we were playing softball, and I would say, I want you to be a pitcher. I need someone to be a catcher. You know, the catcher can't pitch, and the pitcher can't catch, because we need someone to pitch, someone to catch, someone to play second base. Everybody has a position, a place, right? And if someone's not in the right place on the team, what happens? That team could lose. But God has placed us all in Christ Jesus. And we're going to find that our position is in him, with him, and through him. Okay? Ephesians chapter 1. And we left off last week at verse 13. Okay? And it says, in whom you also trusted, After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, God sealed you with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's only a down payment of what he wants us to have. Now, the Holy Spirit is awesome, and can you imagine? He's the guarantee. He's the down payment of what God really wants us to have. Now, as great as the Holy Spirit is, imagine what more there is to have. Man, when this corruption puts on incorruption, amen? When we upgrade to a glorified body, and we don't have the issue of the flesh anymore when Christ comes again. So, in him, we have the Holy Spirit. Now, I looked up that word position, and it means place, location, spot, arrangement, attitude, posture, opinion, stance, outlook, thinking. Okay? So now imagine this. When someone is in Christ, they need to posture like Christ would posture. You need to think like just like Christ would think. You need to speak like Christ would speak. Okay? Let me show you an example of this. All right? Go with me to Mark. We're going to come back to Ephesians, but go with me to Mark chapter 10. Okay? Mark chapter 10, and I want you to see something here. And let's look at verse 46. Okay, because we are positioned in Christ. That means we can share his attitude. Philippians says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the mind that was in Christ can be in you? I mean, if he said, greater works will you do because I go to my Father, and you're going to get to do greater works because he's not here, but the Holy Spirit is here. Now notice in verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. What does God think about blindness? Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is upon me. He has anointed me to heal the blind, cause the blind to see, right? Okay, so God's thoughts on blindness means he thinks that they should see, all right? Now, when someone is positioned in Christ, you should take the same position that Christ has on every issue. Okay, watch this now. So there was Bartimaeus, who was blind. He was begging. Verse 47. When he heard, how does faith come? By hearing. What did he hear? He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Do you think while he was begging, he heard some stories about Jesus? How he healed people, how he touched people, how he caused the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He heard some stories. And when he heard it was Jesus, it was like faith was right there for him. He began to cry out. Did he do something with what he heard? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and faith is action, okay? So when someone is in faith, they've heard something, and they're going to act on something. He began to cry out, saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Healing is a display of God's mercy. How often do God's mercies come? Every day. So if God says his mercies are new every morning, then by right we have a right to cry out for mercy. Can you see how he has positioned himself in Christ? And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Be quiet. Shh. Shh. Don't bother. Shh. You ever do that? You get so excited about something and someone's telling you to shush. You need to shush some shushers. Amen? I'm telling you. This was a life or death situation for him. He heard it was Jesus and he recognized, this is my opportunity to change. Because he heard it was Jesus. Jesus is the word, so faith came. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many. But he cried the more. You know when someone's in faith, when they don't let any other voice interfere with their voice. Faith is the loudest voice. Faith is the strongest voice. You know he was in faith. When you can't be shaken, you're about to get a miracle. Get out of my way. I'm getting my miracle. Be quiet. Oh, hush with the quietness. I'm getting my miracle. Jesus! That's what he did. It wasn't just one person. It was many person telling him to be quiet. All those religious people. You go to that church. You must be one of those holy rollers. Yeah, I'd rather roll into heaven than slide into hell. Now, because he cried the more, verse 49, Jesus stood still. Oh, he's got Jesus' attention now. That means that Bartimaeus must be in faith because Jesus is listening to him, because without faith it's impossible to please him. And because he stood still, he must be pleased about what he's hearing and what he's seeing. And commanded him to be called. And this I love. And they call the blind man. The people who told him to be quiet are the ones saying, come here. See, when you're in faith, those who thought you were foolish, you'll get the last word in. And said unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, that's symbolic of us putting off the old life. I don't agree with begging. I don't agree with blindness. I'm getting something new. And what? He came to Jesus. So here he is, face to face. He got Jesus' attention, and Jesus called him, said, come here. And Jesus answered him and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? Jesus knew he was blind. But see, faith is specific. Faith is not confused. Well, whatever you want, Lord. No, Bartimaeus knew exactly what he wanted. So the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want you to see something. God's will is for us to be whole. Right? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So what is God's will concerning healing? Yeah, he wants us to be whole, right? Was there anyone that came to Jesus for healing that was turned away? No. No, no, no. None that came to him. Oh, there were a lot of people that didn't get healed, but a lot of people didn't come to him. I want you to see something. Bartimaeus had to get an agreement with Jesus' position on sickness, with Jesus' mindset on sickness. He begged for how long? Until Jesus walked by. This was on the road to Jericho. I don't know how many times Jesus passed him, but this time he was in faith. So he came on Jesus' side of the issue. In other words, So he said, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go your way, my power has made you whole. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say my power. Whose faith? His faith. Made you whole. And immediately, notice, he received. Say he received. His sight. And what did he do then? He followed Jesus. He went from blind, begging, to seeing and following. Do you see how he gave up what he had so that he could get what Jesus wanted him to have? He had to get into agreement with God. He had to make a decision that he was fully persuaded, fully convinced that Jesus could heal blindness. Otherwise, if you weren't fully convinced, why would you act like the way he did? If you got to be fully convinced of something. To when people say, be quiet, you get louder. You got to be convinced. See, when we're positioned in Christ. All right, let's go back to Ephesians for a minute. I have another example, but we'll get to it. Bartimaeus had to choose. He could have accepted blindness. He could have accepted being a beggar for the rest of his life. He could have settled, but he didn't. He knew that there was more, and he went after it with all of his heart. And the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, and what? You shall be saved. He said, I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I got your number, Jesus. I'm using it. All right, let's go back to Ephesians. Okay? And I want you to see that you're going to see that as we look at these positions. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Okay? And verse 5. Even when you were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. That word quicken means he made alive. While you were sinners, when did your making alive take place? At the cross. Amen? You were made alive at the cross. While we were yet sinners, we weren't even born yet. But when we were born into sin. But God made us alive when we were dead in sins. Just like Lazarus. He was dead in the grave, but Jesus called him out and he came out of the grave. He was there for 4 days because whatever Jesus says goes. Notice though, we're made alive with Christ, with him, in him, through him. Apart from Christ, you're dead. But with Christ, you're alive. Out of Christ, dark. In Christ, light. Out of Christ, sorrow. In Christ, joy. If you are in a skyscraper and you want to go to the 34th floor, you have a choice. You could take the stairs. Oh, I mean, if you're really energetic, go for it. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to hit that button. And I'm going to get in the elevator. I'm going to press that button to go up, and doors are going to open, and I'm going to get in that elevator. And guess what? Only when I'm in the elevator, it's going to take me up. Out of the elevator, it's a lot of hard work. But in the elevator, I just hit a button, and it takes me up. In the elevator is like being in Christ. Christ opens the door. He gives us an invitation, and he says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, and I'll give you drink. Come to me, and I'll remove the heavy burden. Too many people, they don't see that the elevator's there. They don't know how to get in Christ. That's why those of us who are in Christ need to help those who aren't in Christ so that they can come in too. Because God wants all of us in. There's enough room in this elevator to hold the world. Amen? Okay. Let's go back to verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. He made you to sit. Where? In heavenly places. If you've got problems here on this earth, and you're looking at them from heavenly places, how big are they? Huh? We got to get God's perspective on our problems. And we got to recognize God is bigger than our problems. God is higher than our problems. He's stronger than our difficulties. He can cause us to overcome any challenge that we face as long as we're in Him. As long as we take our position. To be in Christ means to act like Christ, to walk like Christ, to live like Christ, to love like Christ. You know, Peter said one day, he said, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven? And Peter's going, oh, please let it be seven. And Jesus said, 70 times seven. What? 400 and sometimes? I got to forgive my brother. 400 and some? I could just look at Peter, you know. Peter had that thing about him. Yeah, when you're in Christ, you forgive. When you're in Christ, you don't hold grudges. When you're in Christ, you walk in love. When you're in Christ, you share His attitude. People told Jesus one time, they were trying to stop the children from coming to Him. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me. So God loves children. He's got the most kids that you know, He's got millions and millions of kids. Let's go to verse 7. In the ages to come, He might show you the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Where? Through Christ. Christ, in other words, becomes the key, the access card, the password. The password is J-E-S-U-S. Everybody can know that password, amen? You can write that password down and know, you know, anybody can use it. But notice, it's going to take ages. It's going to take God ages to show how good He is. The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness. God is so good and so kind, it's going to take ages for us to realize how good He is. God is so good. He's exceeding good. His goodness exceeds riches. Rich is good, but when you exceed riches, exceeding riches is better. But notice, that's through Christ, through the Anointed One. How do you get in Christ? You confess Him as Lord. You believe in your heart and you confess Him with your mouth that He is Lord. That's how you get in Christ. Getting in Christ is easy. But sometimes it's a lot harder to stay there. Yeah, because your flesh, it wants different things than Christ. Your flesh has different desires than the Word of God. But through Christ, we can crucify our flesh. We can bring it into subjection. And we have to. You can't just, you know, I think it's in Romans. It says, make no provision for the flesh. Oh, well, you know, if you say a bad thing, you know, you say, well, I just missed it. No. Yeah, you missed it, but That's an area that you got to bring into control. Because ultimately, we're supposed to present our bodies as what? A living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice. A living sacrifice, what? That's holy and acceptable to Him. To Him. So now we're supposed to live according to His standards. All right, let's go a little bit further. Let's go to verse 10. We are his workmanship, created where? In Christ. You were created to look just like Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the cookie cutter and we're the dough. And when that cookie cutter goes into the dough forms the shape of the cutter. In other words, when you press that cutter into the dough, the cookie takes the shape of the cutter. God has pressed us, and we are to take his shape. We're made in his image and his likeness. You're his workmanship. That word workmanship is a masterpiece. You thought Rembrandt was good? Oh, look at what Jesus Christ has created. You are his workmanship, created in him for what? For good works, which God has foreordained that you should walk in them. You're created, you're his workmanship. He is the potter and what? We're the clay. Have you ever seen pottery? Have you ever seen clay being formed? Did the clay ever not like what the artist was doing? No, the clay I'm the clay. Wherever you want to press, wherever you want to squeeze, you go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just the clay. You know, he takes that clay and he begins to form it and shape it because the artist has the design in his mind. He knows what it wants. He knows what he's creating it for. He knows what its purpose is. So just let him. When he presses on an area of your life, let him press. When he moves out some of the inside, let him move out some of the inside. Amen? When he adds some water to make it smooth, let him just take whatever shape he wants you to be in. That's what it means to be in Christ. In Christ. I'm trying to hold back. I feel like taking a run around the building. Verse 13. But now, when is it? Now. Now faith is, right? What are you waiting to be? What is taking you so long to get in Christ? Why are you waiting? You know, it's like Pharaoh saying, Moses, can you get rid of these fogs? Yeah, when do you want them? Oh, get rid of them tomorrow. What? You mean you want to keep all these frogs for one more night? Hello? You got frogs everywhere. You open up your closet, there's frogs. You open up the bread thing, there's frogs. Frogs are in the cookie jar. And he says, get rid of them tomorrow? Moses said, okay. So they had the frogs one more night because of the stupidity of Pharaoh. See, when you get in pride, you get stupid. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off, you've been made near by the blood of Jesus. Before, it felt like God was across a canyon. But because you're in Christ, now you get close to God. And that way, God, the closer you get, he doesn't have to shout as much. See, I don't have to shout. Because why? I'm closer. See, God wants us close. We've been made to be brought near by his blood in Christ. These are all positions that God has placed us in. Did you know that if a school bus goes to school and the kids get on the bus but there's no bus driver, that bus isn't going to go anywhere? They're in the bus, but there's no driver. So you got to let the Lord drive you. If he's your co-pilot, swap seats. Okay? He's got to be the one with the wheel. Because he knows better than your GPS where you need to go. All right? Let's go down to verse 18. Through him. Notice, You do not this position does not come in any other person other than Christ. Christ is the only door. He is the only entranceway. He is the only way that a person is going to get to the Father. You can't get to the Father by good works, by being a good person. You can only get to the Father by putting your faith in Christ alone. You can't get there any other way. Through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Did you know that you could come boldly before the throne of grace? Anytime, anywhere, wherever you are, whenever you need to, you can come into the very presence of God because we have access to Him. You have access. Do you know what it's like to have access to a king? You know what it's like to be able to go into the king's office anytime that you want? You could go into his throne room and you can say, "Hey, Daddy, how you doing?" Because God said we can call him Abba. That means Father, Daddy. You can go into the throne room and sit on God's lap. Remember Mary and Martha? Jesus was over for a dinner. Martha, she was running the kitchen, you know, getting everything ready. She was a little upset because Mary wasn't helping her. But what was Mary doing? She was sitting at his feet. Why? Because she had access. And while she was sitting at his feet, he was telling her truth. He was giving her revelation, giving her insight. And she's just like, "Really? I could picture Mary like a little girl in a candy shop." And you know what Jesus said? She chose the better part. But what a privilege we have to be able to come before God. You can talk with God. He'll talk with you. That's what Moses did in the tent. He went there to talk with God every day. And thank God now that the Holy Spirit's been poured out on all people, we don't have to go out to a tent. Because he's in our hearts. He's right here. The answer that you've been looking for is right here. The solution to your problem is right here. All you have to do is access it. You know what? And this system will never crash. The system will never lock you out. You'll never lose your password. Satan can't come in because he doesn't have the password. He can't get to, he was where you can go, but he can't go there anymore. He was kicked out. Okay? 22. In whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are God's building. God loves to hang out in you. He thinks you're cool. God loves his kids. He thinks you're cool. He thinks you're awesome. Why? Because he made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If anybody tries to tell you different, disagree with them. You agree with what God says about you. That's what it means to be in Christ. You have a different position, a different mindset. You know, one time we were ministering, my friend, he used to have a camouflage van, and on the roof he painted "Help." He had a mohawk, he would deal drugs, and this was in Illinois. And he got saved at his class reunion. Some of his classmates had gotten born again, and they led him to the Lord at his class reunion. And one time we were out in my hometown. I always called it going out on patrol. And we would look for people that we could share the gospel with. And we found this guy who happened to be an old friend of my friend's. And we were talking to him about Jesus. And you know, he was standing there listening. He didn't really want to hear it, but And then my friend said, you know, Jesus will put a skip in your walk. And when he said that, the friend that he was talking to turned around and walked the other way. I guess he didn't want a skip in his walk. I don't know. But isn't that what Jesus will enhance your life. He'll make your life better, make your life meaningful. This is what Jesus does. He gives you purpose. He gives you love. He knows all of our faults and our shortcomings, and he loves us anyway, unconditionally. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You could say that you're an adopted Jew. You could say you work for a rich Jew. His retirement plan is out of this world. See, when you know your position in Christ, it gives you confidence. You don't have to be depressed anymore. Isn't it a great relief to have joy over depression? Isn't it wonderful that when you go through something, you have a friend who sticks closer than a brother to get you through it? That's what it means to be in Christ. Christ needs to live in you and through you so that you can touch someone else. We are here to reach the world. God needed hands. He needed feet. He needed mouthpieces. So he incorporated us all into his plan. And we need to live as Christ lives so that we can be the greatest witness that we can be. That's what it's all about. Being in Christ is not about you being so blessed. It's about you sharing what you have with others. And the best way to share it with others is just let him live through you. Just let them see God in you. Let them hear God when you talk in your words. Let them see when trouble comes, let them see how you can have peace in the midst of turmoil. Let them see people who will go the extra mile and not complain about it. Oh, some of you just kind of fell off right there. Yeah, Jesus said if someone asks you to go a mile, you go two. And he said to do it without complaining. Well, I don't know why my boss wants me to work overtime. Just hush. You're being like flesh, not like Christ. Flesh complains. Christ rejoices. Oh, if you don't think God likes complaining, just ask the Israelites who died in the wilderness because they complained. Oh, yeah. God doesn't like complaining at all. So if you find yourself complaining, you're not like Christ in that area. But thank God you have the opportunity to change. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay in that state of mind. You don't have to stay in that position. God's got a new position for you, a higher position, one with greater authority. I want you to know who you are in Christ Jesus. This is you. This is what God wants for all of us. This is what he provided for us. All right, go to verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Say this, say, I can know the manifold wisdom of God. You don't have to go around saying you don't know anymore. You can say, I can know the manifold wisdom of God. He made the church. Are you the church? Yeah, he's not talking about the building. He's talking about the people. How does that thing go? Open the door and see the steeple, look inside and see all the people? And Lord, I don't know where I'm going today. Verse 12. If some of you ever wondered if you could witness, this will answer your question right here. In whom we have what? Boldness. Say it like you mean it. Boldness. Well, I just don't know if I can share with them. You have boldness. That answers your question right now. I'll address your fear right now. No one can ever not witness because of fear anymore. Why? Because you have boldness. And access with what? Confidence. By the faith of who? By his faith, right? Isn't God so awesome? He gives you the faith to put in him. It's like if Gabriel wants to play a video game, I have to give him the money so that he can play it. God gives us the money so that we can operate in faith. He gives us the faith so that we can use it. And he's got an abundant supply of faith. God will never run out of faith. There's always enough. You know, he said, if you had faith like a mustard seed is probably less than my pinky nail. He said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Imagine what a jar full of mustard seeds could do. If one mustard seed can move a mountain, how much more can a bushel move? Or a quart? Can you see yourself in this positions? Can you see yourself in Christ? You are here to occupy. You are here to represent Christ to the world. You're a witness of his goodness. You are a benefactor of his blessing on the inside of you. He brought you into the light. You're in the light. So share with the people who are in darkness. Where's the best place for a light to be? In the dark. Because when the light comes on, there's no darkness. The darkness goes, the light! Yeah. Isn't it amazing that when you turn on a light in a dark room, the darkness scatters? Imagine that. Let's go down to 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. We were designed. See, you got to recognize that it's him that does the work. It's him that performs the word. So we don't take any glory for ourselves. We should not say, oh, I really believe for that. Really? Well, who gave you the faith to believe? You ought to just say, God did it. We shouldn't take credit for anything. We should say, God did it. Amen? Go with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. See, when you face an enemy, what attitude should you have in facing an enemy? Victory. Amen. You show up to the battle with an attitude of victory. Isn't that what David did when he faced Goliath? He's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about my God? I don't think so, Goliath. It ain't happening today. He showed up with an attitude of victory. He didn't show up and then try to get in the attitude of victory. He carried that attitude with him. Amen? You're going to find it's a lot harder. You better practice living by faith when things are good so that when trouble comes, you're ready. It's going to be a lot harder to get in faith when trouble comes if you're not in faith already. Too many people have reverberated faith. Or what's that thing that gives you the electric shock? The defibrillator. They have defibrillator faith. to only use in an emergency. That's not the kind of, we're supposed to live by faith. Faith is not just for an emergency. Faith is to live by. It's a lifestyle. You know, you never see faith in a glass case that says, when needed, break the glass. You better carry it with you. Amen? You are licensed. You've been licensed by the God of heaven to carry a six shooter of faith. I'm loaded for giant today. I got faith in my heart. The word of God is the ammo. Your tongue is the trigger. I was doing a youth group in Atlanta one time. I was preaching. There was about 100 kids there. And I was given that illustration, and my friend had a 6-inch 357 Magnum. And I pulled it out. It was unloaded, of course. And I was given that illustration about how faith is like a gun. And when I pulled it out, they went, oh, is that real? Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He entered a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They weren't convinced that God had accepted them. Because as a leper, you couldn't be where everybody else was. You had to be quarantined. You had to be kept on the outskirts. You couldn't mix in with everybody. So they were afar off. They stood afar off. But see, we learn from Ephesians that we've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. We're not supposed to stand at a distance. Hey, God, how you doing? I'm following you from a distance. No. You got to walk with God hand in hand. You know, God will, how many know of the video game Frogger? It's a couple years ago. If you just take God's hand, he'll help you maneuver through the traffic to get to the where you need to be. Boop, 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 boop. Anyway. So the lepers stood afar off. That's not God's plan. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. He had compassion. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one. One out of ten. What is that, 10%? 10%. When he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, what did he do? He glorified God. Does God like praise? Does God seek people to worship him in spirit and in truth? So praise is getting in agreement with God. See, a good thing was done in this leper. He was healed, and he wanted to give God the glory. And he fell down on his face. Where was he at now? At his feet. Notice he came close. He wasn't afar off anymore. He gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jews didn't like Samaritans either. So he was a leper and a Samaritan. Boy, this guy had two strikes against him. And Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? 10%. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Now notice what happened when he drew near to God. When he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you what? I believe that the 9, the leprosy stopped, but they still had the marks. But I believe this one that came back in worship was totally cleansed, like Naaman was when he came out of the Jordan the 7th time. He was made whole. The others were cleansed, but 10% came back and worshiped. Because that's what he got in total and complete agreement with God. He took a different position. He didn't take the position of a stranger, of someone that is far off. He took the position of a son, one that's close at his feet. and he became whole. That's what it means to be in Christ, to be in that position where you don't accept. God doesn't accept sin. That's why he sent Jesus. With sin brought sickness, so he doesn't accept sickness. So we have to resist it, do all that we can. And if there's a stronghold, we have to change the way we think about it. We have to take on his mindset. The way to change our mind about something is find out what he said about it. Find out what God said about sickness and start saying what he said about it. I am the Lord God that heals. You could say this: he is the Lord, he is my Lord God, and he heals me. He takes sickness from my midst. That's what it means to be in Christ. You get into that position. And it's not a position that you give up. You stay in Christ. Well, what if people are saying something just like Bartimaeus? You stay there. You stay in Christ. My mind's made up. I got my feet on the rock. My mind's made up. And I'm not moving. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm in Christ. Because when you're in Christ, time doesn't matter. Just ask Abraham. Took him 25 years. What if he'd have given up in year 23? We would not have had Isaac. See, when you're in faith, you're in faith. I'm in faith. That's it. I'm not moving. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I see. I don't care what others are saying. I'm in faith, and I'm not moving. You got that, Mr. Devil? I'm not moving. So you want to try to bring it on? Bring it on, because I'll fight the good fight of faith. A good fight is one that you win. You are a winner. You're more than a conqueror. You've got to see yourself in this position, because that is a key to knowing who you are in Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. I'm talking about you. This means you. So why don't we stand up? Go through the book of Ephesians and Colossians and mark down wherever it says in him, with him, or through him. Because that's what God has for you. He's already put you in that position. You couldn't earn that position, but he brought you to that position because of his grace. So Heavenly Father, right now, I just thank you that you are transforming our minds. Father, you're renewing our minds. We're being renewed in the spirit of our minds right now. Some of you need to change your mind about things. And when your words change, you know that your mind has changed. You got to change your mind. Walk in a different way. Think about yourself in a different way. Don't think that you're no good or you didn't have this degree or that degree. That doesn't matter. You have Christ. He's the key to everything. He's the key to all God's goodness. He's the key to God's best. He's the key to the greatest position, the greatest victory, the greatest joy you'll ever know. Jesus, it's because of Jesus. It's because of what he did. I just simply put my faith in him. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I thank you that strongholds that have been built up in our minds are broken, they're demolished, they're destroyed in Jesus' name. And Father, there's a new thing that's being built up. See, the Lord showed me this. A stronghold is a mindset that we protect. We build a fortress around a mindset. That could come from a tradition. That could come from an experience. That could come from someone else. And you have this mindset, and so you built a fortress around it, and it becomes a stronghold. Strongholds are in the mind. They're not up in the air, they're in the mind. If you read that passage in Corinthians, it talks about the mind. You got strongholds in the mind. Strongholds need to be demolished. And they can only be demolished with the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, just begin to praise him right now. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want you to see yourself sitting in heavenly places. I want you to see yourself accepted. I want you to see yourself having a conversation with God in the throne room. I want you to see yourself living on a higher plane in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to see yourself with a full bank account. Quit thinking about the brokenness and the money that you don't have. Think about the provision that God has. Hallelujah. It's not God's will for us to be broke. But we've let the world and the devil convince us that it's so. It's not. Resist it in Jesus' name. God doesn't want you sick. That's not his will. Resist sickness. Hallelujah. Begin to call yourself what God says. Call those things that be not as though they are. Say this. Say, I'm victorious. I'm triumphant. I have full joy. I have peace that passes understanding. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. I'm strong. I'm anointed. I'm God's child. He's called me. I'm on his team. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to heaven. Glory to God. Say, my kids are saved. Say, I influence my family. Glory to God. I'm a giant killer. I'm a land possessor. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You've got to get to the point where you are fully convinced and fully persuaded that you are what God says you are. You can do what God says you can do. You can have what God says you can have. If he says you're the head and not the tail, quit acting like a tail. That's true. Stop acting like a tail. Start acting. How would a head act like? If you're single, how would a married person act? Start acting like a married person if you're single. Oh, yeah. You don't think that faith makes provision? You don't think that Bartimaeus, he was ready to rip off his garment. He made provision to do something different. All he knew was begging. But he was willing to do something different. He could actually work now. He didn't have to have disability. He could work because all he knew was begging. So he had to break that mindset. He had to be fully convinced that he is no longer a beggar. Amen? He's a child of God. Princes and princesses don't beg, do they? We have to carry ourselves like princes and princesses. Oh, yeah. For those of you that work, have a job, you go into that job tomorrow knowing that you're a child of the king and you bring God's goodness. Do you realize Joseph was the only believer in Egypt? Not once did he complain, but he did the best work that he could, and the heathen saw how blessed he was. And the heathen put him in charge because of the way he carried himself, how he did his business. And Potiphar was rich. He got rich because of Joseph's excellence. And then he was faithful in the little, so God put him in charge of all the finances of the nation. Can you imagine that? And he was one. But when you're with God, you're not a minority. You're in the majority. Hallelujah. It's you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're a majority. Oh, yeah. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. With God, you're four. That's what? About 1,000,000. Right? So some of you need to come up higher. Amen? All right, Father, seal all this with the Holy Spirit. Bring it back to our remembrance. Never let us forget it. And Father, we thank you for helping us find out who we are in Christ and what we have. You are a good God. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, and if you would like to